Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken Edwards with the NCL. Ed Maher, good morning, Ed, with the NCL.
What's happening, Ken?
All good, all good. Phil Davidson with the Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good morning.
What's going on, guys? A lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Let's give a two-second shout-out to Kevin McDonough.
Yeah, our boy Kevin.
Yeah, is he like our executive producer or something?
I don't know.
Business card says.
Is that what it is?
Is that right? Yeah, so he's the guy that basically...
It's certainly what he tells people.
Well, and he's the one that came up with the idea for the show and sort of put everything
all
together.
All-around good guy. Best hair on the South Side, I would be willing to wager.
But he rode in Pat Max Pack bicycle ride. It was like a 70-mile ride from...
Chicago to Michigan
City? I think that's right, yeah.
And I heard he made it.
He made the whole way.
Yeah. We haven't seen him since, but we'll take your word for it.
He's like in an ice bath right now.
Yeah. Well, I know Miller Lite stock went up about 2%, so I think he's celebrating.
And by the way, last week when I was not here, when I was actually traveling for work, you guys managed to make fun of me for allegedly not contributing to Pat Max Pack. But
we would
guess
never.
What?
We would
guess
never.
What? I did. And as a matter of fact, I was one of the first contributors.
One of. Just
and,
after me.
And guess how much I contributed?
Doesn't matter.
Twice as much as Phil. So there. Don't think I was going to let that go.
That was my first installment.
He's on the subscription plan.
Yeah, I'm monthly.
Okay.
I'm a monthly donor.
All right. So, Phil, you have something that I thought was just fascinating.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. This is happening. Obviously, another example of just the craziness inside the big, beautiful bill.
Big, beautiful Phil.
Big, beautiful Phil. There's a measure that was first introduced in the House. Now it's in the Senate Government Affairs Committee that would require federal workers to pay thousands of additional dollars into their government retirement plans each year unless they choose to be an at-will employee who can be fired without cause.
So it's like a union tax.
So it's kind of like a union tax extortion, I guess, would be one way of describing
this
it.
This is going to have to be challenged in court because, like, under equal protection or something like that. Like, this is discrimination against people who are seeking to be union
Ed
members.
Maher, Esquire.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
But here's the deal. This is my question then, right? Didn't Trump try and take away collective bargaining rights for all federal employees anyway?
Correct.
So now this is, says, well, just in case we, this is like hedging your bet. In case we lose, you're going to have a tax on you for that.
Yeah, and I think it said something like, if you're a veteran federal employee, you'd have to pay an extra $5,000 a year for your retirement plan.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Let's hear me out for a second. Unions must be doing a pretty good job at representing people if the only way that government can get them to stop doing it is to
extort them.
Yeah, you want to go with them? We're going to charge you $5,000 extra. Well, fine, I can't afford that, so I guess I'll have to leave.
You're still coming out ahead.
Well, that's a great point, Phil. Yeah. I would imagine that, sure, you're ahead, but...
That's not right.
But the union, the union dues for a government employee are probably really, really small.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as we talked about before, I'm going to say it again, if you're AFG, right, American Federation of Government Employees, and you have the potential to represent 800,000 members, but you only represent 300 of those 800,000 because everybody else has chosen not to pay dues.
You lose leverage.
You lose leverage, but you also lose all that money, right? Dues. So it's just, I don't know. I'm torn. I mean, I'm just ambivalent about it in the first place. But obviously, if you're at will, what that means in plain English for everybody is you can be fired for any reason, good, bad, indifferent. At any time. From the day one of your career to day right before you retire of your career, as long as it's not a discriminatory reason. And the word discriminatory now continues to have the goalposts.
They've narrowed that down a little.
Right?
Bit.
You can discriminate now against this and this and this. And, pretty soon there's going to be nothing left of that. But that's what at will means. So you're basically, without a union, state of Illinois and most states and around the country, you're an at-will employee anyway, right? So federal, right, they have some due process rights. They actually have, federal employees have a property interest in their job, which is getting in the weeds, but this is all stuff that's being hashed out in the courts right now, which it shouldn't have to be because it's already law. But when, you know, somebody comes in and tries to just wipe everything away and change the law, well, now we're in the courts, you know? And they, like, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're the Trump administration, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose by trying all this stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, a bill like that, like, hey, let's punish federal employees that have worked here for 30 years. Let's punish the working class for trying to protect their jobs, right? Forget the union or not union. You know, like, I'm an employee, I want to protect my job, and you're going to make me now pay more to protect my job. You're not giving me extra benefits. It's not like I'm getting $5,000 extra on my pension.
No.
I'm just paying towards it now $5,000 more than I was last week.
And then the government will say, oh, why do you want to be in a union? It's going to be so much more expensive. You're the ones making it more expensive.
Exactly.
This is what my 7 and 10-year-old would call no fair.
What did federal employees ever do to Russell Votes? Like, what is this guy's deal? He just has it out. I mean, he's the main author of the Project 2025. It's just, and I think he has a ton of influence. I think now he's head of OMB in D.C.
I'm pretty sure, like, he asked a woman out one time and she said no.
And she was a federal employee.
Yeah, or not. He's just getting back at the world. I'm sure it's not just federal employees.
You think he's mad at his mom?
He's the guy at the grocery store line who's like mad that the guy in front of him has one less thing. And he's like muttering under his breath, "Don't let me go first. I have less stuff." Russell is a miserable human being.
Unfortunately, he's smart and
has a lot of power.
He has a lot of power and he knows how the gears of the bureaucracy are running. So he can just come up with these schemes.
Look, we talked about this. I'll say it again. None of it's working, right? Cutting all these jobs, cutting all these programs, cutting funding for NPR. Like, none of that is working. It's causing chaos.
We could thank the judicial people. System for that.
It's just testing the fences.
Yeah, for sure.
There are some things that are going to get through the fence. There's a lot that's not. But, you know, hopefully the most damaging things, the judiciary does its job.
But people had these ideas before. He's just executing on them. You know,
Trying to.
Yeah.
Not really doing it in a precision way. Speaking of fences, you know who gave up on their fence? Texas.
I heard about that.
They said, you know what? You know how many? They built 8% of 850 miles over the past, like, decade. And they were pouring billions of dollars into it. And they quietly just, like, we're not going to fund that anymore.
Our work here is done.
So you have, like, I saw
pictures.
It's like
the famous submarine with the screen door, right?
You have swaths of just like a giant fence plopped in the middle of nowhere. Just walk around
it. You want to get in here, you're going to have to walk around
10 feet.
So they're just giving up on it, which just makes me laugh because Governor Abbott is like, build that fence, you know, and sorry. You know, I don't know. I don't know why it makes me laugh. It just does. Anyway. Listen,
we got Casey Martin coming in from the MCL Credit Union.
And he's got a really, really cool special going on right now that you should really listen to. It will put money back in your pockets, brothers and sisters of the coalition.
More money.
Yeah, more money. So, listen, we'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. Ken, Ed, Casey Martin, as we talked about earlier, is here today in the studio with us. Casey is the president of the Midwest Coalition of Labor Credit Union. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate being here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And it's Midwest Coalition of Labor Credit Union because that's what we were called when we started the coalition. Now we're National Coalition of Labor, but they had already made signs.
it's quite the process to change your name.
Yeah, so.
Especially if you're a financial institution.
Yeah, so we're just going to leave well enough alone. Just like we have the Midwest Coalition of Labor Premise Health Centers, you know, we're going to go with that.
Yeah.
So Casey, welcome. We're stoked to have you. We talk all the time when Ed and I go out on the road talking to unions about the fact that we have a credit union. And people, you know, most people are decent, have a decent understanding of what a credit union is. And when I say most people, I mean people that are 40 plus.
Sure.
But kids that are younger than that, Like, what? What is a credit union, right?
Yes.
Because they've never set foot inside a bank or a credit union, right? So explain the difference.
They're all app-based.
Yeah, for sure. Explain the difference between a credit union and a bank.
Sure. So we are a not-for-profit organization, and a credit union will serve a community.
Okay.
Okay, so two types of credit unions. There's community credit unions, and the way to think about this is wherever a branch is, draw a circle around that branch, and whoever can get to that branch, it'll serve that community.
Got it.
And then there's what we are. It's called a closed field of membership.
Yes.
We serve only the union brothers and sisters of the unions that participate in the National Coalition of Labor.
Love it.
So we are 100% union. So the way I look at this is, if the union atmosphere, if the union movement is something you want to support, this is an opportunity to support that movement.
Yeah. And so, it's like in real time, right?
For every dollar that you put in,
yeah,
that could be lent out to one of your brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
The money stays in our union community.
That makes perfect sense to me. So it's like, you know, working on a, you know, a local union site in a local union community, the money stays in the community, right? Our community is the breadth of the NCL.
Right. And you're not getting gouged by a Wall Street bank.
Sure. And that's entirely the point. As a not-for-profit organization, when you're a depositor, you're an owner of the credit union, and the money stays here. And so the idea is lower rates on loans, higher rates on deposits and CDs,
right?
And keep the money here, and that's it. We serve us, and it was the idea was we can work, we can have a better financial environment by serving each other,
right?
And so, how long has the credit union been around? Because it wasn't always the MCL credit union; it used to be just called the credit union.
Right? And if we ever change our name again, I'm going to change it to
the credit union.
Yeah. I like that.
The credit union.
I'm not kidding. That's what it used to be called, I think, right?
So we've been around since 1974.
Wow. Unbelievable. Okay.
So celebrated our 50th year last year.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. And so, not-for-profit, right? So there is no actual profit margin. You have to make enough money to keep the doors open.
Correct.
So pay the staff, right? Pay the electric bills, et cetera. But let's say you have a surplus left over, right? Do you ever give that money back to the membership?
We can. So decisions are made at the board level. It's called net assets.
Okay.
So it would be for a for-profit institution, to be net income, right?
But right.
For us, I don't want to get too technical here. It's called net assets. As the credit union grows, we have requirements. So you, the depositor, are comfortable knowing that we're going to be a viable going institution. We add it to our capital, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too big in the detail, but if we have surplus, we can talk about it at the board level, and we can issue what's called a special dividend.
And that just happened recently, right?
That happened last year, yes.
And how much was the dividend?
It was for $100,000.
That's amazing. And that's spread out over...
Pursue, depending on how much you had on deposit at credit union.
But here, like I've said, look, I've had Citibank as well my whole life. I've never gotten a check from Citibank.
They never reached out and were like, hey, Ken, we had a good year. Here's some money. Have some money.
Our stock has quadrupled in the past 2 years, and we had a great, like, we had $200 bazillion in profits, and we just want you to have your fair share.
Well, when a bank does well, the shareholders are ultimately the ones who do well. And with a credit union, if you have money there, you are a shareholder.
You're a shareholder.
But you're literally a shareholder.
Yeah,
in order to join the credit union, you have to buy one share.
Correct.
How much is one share?
$100 for us.
That's it.
It's a bargain.
It's a steal. And so that $100, by the way, it doesn't just go into the
ether. It's in your account.
It's in your account.
Correct. It's yours.
It's yours. Yeah. It's your money.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about some of the services that the credit union offers.
Sure.
All right. Let's start with, do you guys do home loans?
Yes, we do mortgages, and we do HELOCs or home equity lines of credit.
Okay. So I will share something that I just bought. My neighbors are moving upstairs, and you know, I live in a two flat, and so I bought their place, and I went through the credit union, as I did when
that.
I bought my very first home years ago. And so Casey literally sat with me, and we talked about, he's like, go to market, you know, go out in the market and look, right? So I did, you know, I put it out on one of those, like, you know, aggregator sites.
LendingTree.
Yeah, something like that, right? And all of a sudden, like, my phone is just ringing, like,
moments later.
Like, we got the best rates in the world, and we're like, here it is. It's we're actually going to pay you to do business with us. Like, oh, wow, this sounds great, you know?
You would be stupid not to take this offer.
So I engaged with a few of them, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, you said the rate was blank. And like, well, you know, it changed, and then that is the rate, but, you know, your fees are, you know, $200,000 or whatever. It was just crazy. And so I kept running by Casey, and Casey just destroyed the rates that I was getting and the fees, and then hooked me up with Union Legal Services, the guy that does our closings. Sat with him. He did our closing. Right, who did my closing.
Sure.
It was the easiest process. Like, people say, like, buying a house is an absolute nightmare, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It was not at all. And I felt like I was in good hands, and I trusted the institution, and it worked out really well.
Well, I'm glad. Thank you very much. And, you know, what I would say is, you know, the power of intent is something that's not discussed a lot.
So what does that mean?
Intent meaning, we're here to help you.
Right.
Truly. And so when you work with the credit union, we are not commission-based.
Right.
And all of those
lenders,
the LendingTree, they're commission-based. And so everyone is incentivized. Everyone wants the lowest rate.
Of course.
And so, but a lot of that, so anybody could say, I'll lend you this at, you know, 3%, 4%, what a pick a number.
Sure. We're,
but they don't disclose the points until the paper hits your inbox.
Yeah, for
small
sure.
print,
yeah. Right? So like, you, oh, I'm going to get this rate. Oh, great. Casey, what can you? I'm like, well, just send me what the. And I think what your story is, I don't aim to match deals. We want to beat them, and we want to win deals.
Yeah.
And we don't need to have the fancy, we'll give you $1,500 towards closing costs. We're just going to go to the best that we can give you.
For sure.
And that's
which by the way, I'd rather have
a low mortgage rate, a lower rate will save you a lot more than $1,500 over a 30-year term of a mortgage.
All day, every day.
It's not flashy, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the numbers, it's a better deal.
I did the math myself, and I'm not going to disclose my rate or what it was, but I can tell you that over the course of 30 years, because that's what I got, a 30-year fixed, it was a massive savings. And another positive thing.
30 years, huh, Ken?
I don't have 30 years to live.
Who's going to pay the end of that?
That sounds like an Evan problem. Yeah. Evan, if you're listening, you know, congratulations. You got a house. Congratulations.
Save your money.
So, but we got, you know, so I did that, and I did my own math, and
I love it when our members shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's when you find out what we're talking about.
Because you know you can beat these rates, but if you just tell them we can beat these rates, it sounds like every guy on LendingTree.
If
they go and see, and I mean, I've looked at it too and seen the spread, and it's like, wait, what's the catch?
Sure.
There is no catch. You guys are nonprofit.
Sure.
And it's owned by us.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, literally, who sits on the board?
I mean, it's union leadership.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's they have our best interest at heart. The credit union has our members' best interests at heart, and it simply shows. So let me ask you this. There's a special going on right now, and I want to get into it, but I want to take a quick break. Do you have time to stick around for another segment?
Sure.
You're okay with that?
Look forward to it.
All right. Listen, we're going to be right back. We're talking to Casey Martin, the president of the MCL Credit Union. We'll be right back with more of the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. I am Ed Maher here with Ken Edwards, and we are back with our guest, Casey Martin, the president of the Midwest Coalition of Labor Credit Union.
Thanks for sticking around, Casey.
Yeah, absolutely.
And by the way, you hold a union card.
I do.
From what union?
Local 150.
What?
Operating engineers, Local 150.
Second generation, third?
Third generation.
Third generation.
Third generation, let's see, cardholders since 2002.
Love it. Look at that. Good for you.
Yeah, your dad was one of the first people I met when I joined Local 150.
Longtime business agent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally died on the job.
I knew he would.
Did you really?
People were asking me, when's he going to retire? When's he going to retire? I'm like, he's going to die on the job.
And you were right. Good dude.
Let's change the subject.
All right. Speaking of death on the job, Credit Union's running a promotion right now.
We are.
Right, this is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Tell us about the promotion.
So between now and September 1st, we have a balance transfer promo for our credit card. We offer credit cards.
Okay.
And if you transfer your balances from other credit cards, you're going to receive 2% APY for 6 months.
Okay. Say so in plain English, that means?
You're going to pay 2% over the course of 6 months.
Okay. 2% interest rate.
Yeah. So if let's just say you have $5,000 on a credit card somewhere else.
Yep.
You're probably paying somewhere in the 20%.
For
pick,
sure.
Pick a number. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Call it 20%.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
And then you can take that $5,000, fill out a form with us, and you can transfer that balance to our credit card, which you have to open up if you don't have one. So you can open up a credit card with us and then transfer the balance, and you're going to only pay 2% for the next 6 months.
Okay. So how much does it cost to transfer your balance?
And that's
key. A great question, Ken.
Thank you so much.
So a lot
because I get these things in the mail every 5 minutes.
Yeah, 0%, but you pay 5% of the balance that you're transferring.
You're losing the money because you're paying.
You're not saving anything.
Oh, God, no.
That's key. When you just hit on it. It's called a balance transfer.
Ed didn't hit on it. I did.
Okay.
That's not true. Roll back the tape.
That's called a balance transfer fee. So when you get those flyers in the mail and those notices, what they don't highlight is that fee, that 5% upfront. So in this scenario that we're talking about, this $5,000, that's $250 added to the balance day one.
Right.
Okay, great. Now you have 0% for a little bit, but you just added $250. With us, zero fee.
Right.
So that's a big deal.
So
you don't see them very often at all.
Well, no, and I mean, you know, balance or mix that in with the competitive rates when you move on. I mean, you're not going back up to a 20% credit card fee after that 6 months.
And that's the that's the kicker, right? So you no balance transfer fee. You're going to get 2% for the next six months,
okay.
And then it goes back to your regular rate with us.
Not your regular rate of where you came from.
With us.
With your credit card.
The credit unions, and that's going to range between 9% to 14%. So it's priced literally at half.
That's it.
The market.
That's it. 9 to 14.
Somewhere in there, depending on your credit, you're going to have a credit card. As long as you qualify, you'll have a credit card with us with a rate somewhere between 9% and 14%.
Which, by the way, just for those of you listening, go look at your credit card statement. Right, see what interest rate you're paying on that balance right now. Right, just go look at it. Get online, look at your bank, see what interest rate you're paying. I'd be willing to bet that 90% of you are paying more than 14%.
Yeah,
I know for a fact that. Look, I have almost perfect credit, and you know I use one that's tied to my Citibank. Obviously, I have a bunch of stuff through the credit union as well. Sometimes it's just easier to use the Citibank one, and I think I have like an Advantage Miles or you know something like that.
Sure.
I think I'm paying 24%.
Well, I play the points game with United cards and stuff like that. So I'm always getting offers for new cards.
Right.
And even with good credit, you're well into the 20s, which is insane.
Yeah.
Every year, 20% of
it's
what you pay.
It's a lot of money. Yeah, right? If I could make 20% on the, you know, my money.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're making 4% in the bank, you know, but they're making 20% off of our dollars.
Also, Jamie Dimon from Chase can buy a new gold tooth or a pimp stick, you know, every year. He's got a lot of them.
And I've always advised, if you're paying your credit card off in full every month.
Sure.
Get the points. That's a better deal for you. But if you are not paying the balance off in full every month, what I like to say is stop paying them, pay us less.
And take the difference and put that money back in your pocket.
Correct.
And as we've been talking about, once again, financial planning, financial literacy, saving for a rainy day, pushing money back into the members' coffers, right? Back into the family coffers. If you're saving a spread of 14 to 24%, 10%, on whatever that debt is, right? Let's say it is $5,000, right? That's $500. $500 a year.
Right there.
Right? A lot of people carry something on their credit card all the time, right? I myself am guilty of that. I don't pay it off as I should all the time. I have some debt, not a ton, but there are a lot of people sometimes, unfortunately, you know, especially, like I hate to say it, but especially in people that don't make building trades money, right? They're putting groceries on credit cards.
For sure.
There's a new thing lately. I don't know if you saw this, where you can pay off groceries now.
You can finance your groceries.
I'm not kidding.
You can finance DoorDash. You can finance a single meal.
But they're encouraging you to do that.
Why?
Interest.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that promotion goes till when?
As long as you can get the balance transfer done by September 1st.
Okay.
How much can somebody transfer?
Up to their limit.
Okay.
So whatever you're approved for, our maximum limit is $15,000.
Got it.
That's our maximum limit. But so somewhere between whatever you're approved for up to $15,000, depending on.
So what's the phone number for the credit union?
708-482-9606.
And can they see you online?
Yes. We're online. We are at www.mclcu.org.
mclcu.org.
And you see you at the credit union.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
I looked at your new website. It's really nice. Yeah.
Thank you. And it's interactive, too. So you can apply for loans online, and you can make changes online.
Yeah.
Do all your online banking.
Correct. So even though we're only open from 8:30 to 5, you've got 24-hour access to do whatever you need.
You guys are open on Saturdays.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Not a lot of banks are open Saturdays.
And with ATMs, you're part of, if I'm not mistaken, the Allpoint Network. So like...
Yeah. So nobody knows what the Allpoint Network is, but everyone knows what Walgreens is, CVS, right. Target, and Costco.
7-Eleven.
So all of those ATMs.
Yep.
No fees.
No fees.
That's awesome. So
take that, Chase.
Yeah. And so I want to just pivot real quickly to probably what I think is one of the most popular products that you offer, and that's car loans, right?
That is one of the most popular.
Yeah, for sure. And so explain to us, how does a car loan work at the credit union?
How does it work?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want to go to any dealership, I mean, you can opt to use their finance guy, who it's called an indirect program. They don't lend you the money. It's kind of like a LendingTree,
right, yeah,
on site. They'll go to the other banks and within the area that they work with, or you can finance directly with us, and we'll either wire the funds to the dealership, mm-hmm, or mail a check. Whatever, we work with them however they want the funds to make it as easy as possible for you. And the concept here is that you're going to get a better rate in terms with the credit union than what the finance guy would offer.
I have bought every single one of my cars through the credit union for the last 30 years. I'm not making that up.
Well, sitting down with the finance guy can be one of the most unpleasant things in the world.
Oh, out of the car dealership?
They draw the four boxes.
Oh, my God. It's like, you need to have this.
Here's how much you pay.
Yeah.
Well, what's the rate?
Don't worry about the rate.
Let's hear how much you pay. But what about the rate?
But I have stood in the car dealership.
Yeah.
Walked into the hallway, called Casey, and said, this is the rate they're offering me. And Casey's like, great. Tell them, here's the rate. I'll wire the money right there. I'm like, okay. Voila. I walked out. The credit union had my loan.
And
once I bought, it was like a Sunday or Saturday. I was like, call Casey. And I'm like, hey, I'm in the car dealership. He's like, well, it's Sunday, you know, or whatever it was.
You must can't have been be. A Saturday. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
Whatever it was,
the credit union was closed. He's like, just take the deal and call me Monday. We'll fix it. So I did. I signed everything. I was like, here, okay, I'll just... 25% sounds great. And like 5 minutes later, Casey's like, okay, it's 1.9% or whatever it was at the time. It was crazy low at that point. But so that the car buying is, I think it's like, it probably is. Is it the most popular loan that
is,
we offer?
And we've got the e-signatures, so you can be at the dealership. We can, what I always advise is get pre-approved from us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go, when you're in a comfortable place, like, I've got time to get pre-approved. Then when you go to the dealership, all it is give me the VIN and give me time to get the paperwork done.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. How many car loans do you think we do a year?
A year, we probably do around 400.
That's awesome.
Maybe more?
Should be more.
It's about to be more.
Right. It's about to be more is right. You guys are open Monday through Friday.
8:30 to 5 on Monday through Friday, and then 8 to noon on Saturdays.
Okay. And you have Spanish speakers.
We do.
How many?
We have three of them.
It's massive. And so you're going to, like, once again, I want to just...
When somebody calls up, they'll ask, and we'll get somebody on the line for them.
But when somebody calls, you're going to get a live person.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, somebody's going to pick up the phone and say, Midwest Coalition of Labor Credit Union. It's not going to be press one for this, press two for this, be on hold for this.
We might do that to get you faster to the person. Right. If you want to talk to somebody about a loan,
yeah,
we might introduce that.
Got it.
So that it goes, when you hit the, do you want to talk to somebody about a loan? Hit one. One. Okay. Right. A real person picks up the phone.
They're all sitting in the southwest suburbs of Chicago.
Yes.
And all right.
Yes. Ultimately, somebody's going to pick up the phone.
For sure. And so, last thing, right? Because sure. This is unique. And as we've gone around the country lately, we've been approached by other credit unions, like all over the place. And because, you know, we're deep Texas and Louisiana and Kentucky and places like that. One of the unique things about our credit union, and this was a change that we made when this coalition, the now NCL, was formed, was that this there's a stick piece of it, right? So there's definitely a carrot, like great rates, you know, human being, you know, all the bells and whistles, promotions. Those are all fantastic. But here's a stick, and the stick is this. If you, let's say, are a public employee and you're a member of any of our unions, right, under Janus, you don't have to pay dues, right? Right to work. If you're in Indiana, right to work. Kentucky, right to work, right? All these right to work states.
Freeloading,
right? Everybody knows what right to work is. For those of you who don't, look it up, and we'll have plenty to talk about that. But that's why we were actually formed in response to the Janus decision. And so we changed the rules at the credit union to put in black and white, in writing, in the loan documents, that if you exercise your rights under right to work or Janus, what happens, Casey?
Let me say it this way.
Go ahead.
We serve the union community.
Yes.
If you choose not to be part of that community,
yes,
we're not going to serve you.
Love it. So we call that the Bring Back the Car program.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, if you're trying to get something for nothing and take advantage of a union to get representation but give nothing back, then you're not entitled to the kind of financial incentives that are provided to union members through things like the credit union. End of story.
And look, that's the way it should be, right? I mean, you had a call the other day from, a member, right?
Right.
Wanted to get a loan.
Somebody was of a union, public sector union, was not a dues-paying member. They came in to open an account at the credit union. I got a call, looked through the register, called the union. They said he was not a dues-paying member, but that he was going to be sending in the ACH paperwork to sign up and become a dues-paying member, and he did. We got confirmation that he did. So that union's got one more member because of the outstanding things that you offer at the credit union.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, it just happened a couple days ago, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I think that the stick is important as well. So, like I said, Casey, when we've gone around and, we're approached by, you got to figure, as we continue to get bigger, we're approached by mortgage companies and banks,
sure,
and credit unions and all this kind of stuff. And the first thing I said is okay, let's say somebody has a mortgage through your program and they decide to stop paying dues. Are you okay with us taking the house back? And they're like, what? are you okay
no.
with us taking the house back? Like, well, I don't know about that. And they get really nervous and whatever. And
we do follow the laws. I want to.
Yeah, of course we follow the laws. So it's absolutely legal. Of course it is. And we're a closed field of membership. Yeah. Like you said, we're free union members. Members, right? And their families, by the way.
Correct.
Right?
Correct, yes.
And people who don't pay dues are not union members.
That's correct.
They're called fee payers.
Or they don't pay any fees, right? There used to be fair share in the public sector.
And those
that's
are fee
gone,
payers, yeah. So if somebody doesn't pay anything,
but you're a backup objector,
freeloader.
You're a freeloader, right? You're right to work. You think you're going to get something for nothing, and you shouldn't, and you should be punished for thinking that. And so,
well, Samuel Gompers famously said, "Labor should reward its friends and punish its enemies."
You know who's doing a good job of that right now? Donald Trump. He's taking a page from Samuel Gompers.
I think he's got some friends that feel like they might be getting punished at the moment.
Well, it depends on what day of the week it is.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Listen, Casey Martin, president of the Midwest Coalition of Labor Credit Union, 708-482-9606, mclcu.org, correct?
That is correct.
pick up the phone, get online, check it out, take advantage of the special that you guys are running.
Please.
Before September 1.
Please, yes.
And the paperwork has to be done before September 1, right?
It's got
to
be in, yes.
Yeah. So we appreciate all your hard work and everything that you've done for the members. How many members are we at now?
About 8,400.
Right. Oh, now. Nice. Excellent. And growing, right?
Yep.
I get calls about a credit union almost daily.
Yeah. Well, good.
So, listen, thank you for coming in.
Thank you guys for your support, too.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. We'll be right back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Hey, that was fascinating, right?
How about it?
Yeah, it's good. What a benefit, right? And it's good to see the credit union growing, expanding, new website, online banking, all
a
this kind of stuff.
A non-for-profit bank.
Right?
Seriously, yeah. Sit and think about it. What a good idea.
It is a good idea. That's why there's not many of them left.
I guess.
It is a shrinking industry.
The for-profit banks have better lobbyists, as I always say.
Yeah. So, quick, I know, Phil, your obsession, AI, right?
Yeah.
Department of Labor, what, like undersecretary or
the deputy secretary of labor? Yeah, he was speaking this week at a conference of the business roundtable, and he said that, you know, the administration believes that this will be the AI will be the biggest jump in productivity for workers. I think robot workers, but ever. But the problem they're running into is that companies are hesitant to implement it. Now, why would that be? Because the leaders, the white-collar workers who would be in charge of making the decisions and of implementing it, don't trust that it will be used to do anything that's good for workers. So, I mean, even the people who would be implementing it, the leaders of these companies, are worried that they will lose their jobs.
Yeah. The leaders of the companies.
Right.
They'll lose their jobs, too. Yeah.
I mean, here, not Amazon, because he came out point blank and told his workers, you're going to be replaced by AI.
Well,
and
right.
He's like, we're going to need less workers.
The head of Anthropic, which puts out a product called Claude, which is like ChatGPT, which is more popular than people are probably familiar with. The CEO came out and said that within 5 years, 50% of all entry-level white-collar jobs will be gone.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, people are saying maybe that's conservative. But you think about it, like, people who've been working in senior roles, they retire. Who's going to replace them? I mean, robots, I think, is probably the easiest answer. But
Well, listen.
And this is why we can't – this whole idea – another element of the Big Beautiful Bill where they're banning – or any state that tries to ban AI research will have their broadband money taken away. So trying to prevent states from banning AI when it's like, well, we need to regulate it right now.
Well, wait, states' rights when it's, you know, convenient.
Right.
And it's you know, big government when it's not. But you want to ban like any restrictions on AI nationwide.
Yes, that for 10 years. For 10 years.
That part was definitely written by a robot.
Exactly.
But you cannot regulate me.
I want to give you guys the good news. Don't worry, because the AFL-CIO in Washington, D.C., that represents 63 unions and 13 million members, they wrote a letter. And 25 unions, not even half of their unions, signed on to the letter that
said, I mean, don't laugh, because once somebody reads that letter,
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, they wrote a letter. That's right.
Was it a good letter? I sure hope they didn't use ChatGPT to write that letter.
I got to be blunt with you. I didn't read the letter. I just know that they wrote a letter. So, yeah, you guys don't worry about it. They got to take care of it.
I'm glad I didn't have to write a letter.
Who would you address the letter? Dear overlords.
I was going to say to my AI overlords.
Yeah, dear Techno Destructo.
Dear future Arnold Schwarzenegger.
What's his name? John Connor.
John Connor. He's really maybe our only hope.
We're literally going to live through this. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Some of us longer than others.
Our kids are going to be, wow, is that a threat?
Wow, holy cow.
Some people on the show are a little younger than others, I'm saying.
Oh, ouch. Well, it's a good thing Ken takes such good care of himself.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. Listen,
we
got to go. But thank you all for listening. Give the credit union a call if you want, 708-482-9606. We'll be back next week with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of The Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.